Gemma. Today's children, that's the subject. They're children of moving toward the future. We need to understand that the past has gone. And all the methods, all the means, all the systems, ways that worked in the past are not going to work in the future. Good or bad is up to us. Human beings always assess based on their interests. After the Mahabharata war, Gandhari cursed Krishna, saying that you are the cause for this terrible disaster. But today the world remembers the Gita. So what we are witnessing today, what is called as, whatever names you may give, millennials, Gen Z, these are terms we use. But essentially one thing is clear, that there is a breakaway from the past, and this breakaway is becoming more and more prominent. So does it mean that all the past will be broken? This was asked to the mother. Mother gave a message. Men, countries, continents, the choice is imperative, truth or the abyss. But at the same time she said, whatever is true will remain. Proof is before us. And I often say Vedas and the Indian civilization is a living proof that so many, if you go through the history, last maybe 2000 years, so many countries, they changed, their religion changed, culture changed, everything changed. And it is still continuing to change. But Sanatana Dharma stayed. Now this directly implicated, Ishwar Bindu's work. The Vedas continue to engage humanity. The Gita is becoming a scripture. More and more people are taking interest in it. Why? Because whatever is true will remain. Truth cannot be destroyed. It's the substrate. But it will express itself in new ways in generations to come. What these children would one day embody, we'll come to what they are going through today, is the living truth. Not a scriptural truth. Scriptural truth very often becomes encrusted in the mind. But by living truth is meant very simply, as the example I think yesterday also we were speaking about. If you read the mother, you will see in the four aspects of the mother, the living truth. How to worship Mahakali? Be straightforward, frank, sincere. How to worship Maheshwari? Again, we have the same answer. Today somebody asked also, why was Odysseus blessed by Maheshwari even though he was a non-believer? It's irrelevant. We are not living in an age of belief and non-belief. We are living in an age when if you are sincere and true, you will be supported. If you are not sincere, not true, you are using religion as a cover or a mask or anything, ideology as a mask, it will be ripped off. So today's children are the, one can see that they are beginning to rip off everything. That's something which we can see very clearly. They don't like to get into the past. They don't like to talk about things in the way, oh, our generation, we used to do this. This is something like not accepted by them. And they are discovering their own ways. So here there is a little incidence, anecdote from mother's agenda. There were people who came, they made her listen to some of the notes of Beatles. I'm sure many of us must have heard Beatles. One of the first rock bands, if I'm not mistaken. May not be the first, but probably very early rock bands. John Lennon, he was killed also. And so the interesting part is she listens to the notes. After some time she says, well, she's talking about these people, 60s, huh? Barbarians of the new world. So what does it mean? Human beings in the beginning were in the caves. And from the cave they gradually learnt and they emerged and they evolved. In the cave they were much worse than many of the animals. Imagine life at that point of time in the cave. with all the deadly, dangerous animals, human beings didn't have the vitality to do anything. If you really read the early history, but nature was with them, the wind was flowing in their favor and divine was supporting them, so they went through the challenges. If we just for a moment project ourselves in that direction, you are surrounded by every kind of creature, leopards and hyenas and tigers and serpents and everything. And you have no gun, no GPS, nothing. You are caught in a cave. You don't know what is going to happen. Any person at that point of time would have predicted this species is not going to survive. It has nothing in it which can outsmart or challenge. And yet, not only it survived, it grew, nearly destroying itself. So same thing we see here, that now we are entering an age where it is the age when the inner truth will be supported, not the external crush. So many of these children are breaking away from the past. Understandable. And often when parents tell me, you know, that they don't listen, I say, see, I mean, it may offend some people, but parents often are not very good examples. It's just a fact check. They fight, they quarrel, they ask the child to go and tell, I am not there. They're just factual things. I'm not cooking up a date. I have seen. They tell lies. They try to show off. I'm not talking of this or that parent. In general, they try to show off how much gift has come, how much has to be given. They judge people by the dress they wear, by the ornaments, by the house. Is this a world of truth? And you want children to copy that? They will not. Because now they don't know what is the way to live. Agreed. They don't know. They are the barbarians of the new world. They don't know what should be my way of. They don't have that navigation. And that's why the role of many of us, to tell them to be as we were or parents in the past, is to turn the clock backward. It won't happen. But they need guidance. They need understanding. They need to, you know, the kind of influences that are coming, whenever there is a transition time, both influences will come. Influences that can uplift you or influences that can completely destroy you. And they have to face that onslaught. And they need, right now the highest is reason. You need to talk to them. If you say don't abuse is not enough, many of these children, no, they are so, they use abuse as if it's a cool word. So you have to talk to them about, you know, what does it carry from the highest standpoint. So this is what we are witnessing today, as the mother said, the birth of a new world. And people often get very disheartened. I can understand people get disheartened who don't really believe in the beyond or in divine leading. But when people get disheartened in India, I just wonder. If you read the Bhagavad, your heart will be full of joy that, look here, there is a divine consciousness in creation, helping, guiding, taking us. Hamare saath jab Raghunath to kis vaat ki chinta. I never understood this. It means that we were not really speaking having faith. We said that we have faith. But if we really had faith, we would understand that, you know, creation has a divine destiny. It has come from the divine. The divine is within it. If these two, only two truths are enough to remember and go through life. One is that it has emerged from the divine. So because it has emerged from the divine, it has got the imprint of the divine inside, logically. Second, the divine is within it. That's the second truth which, you know, we are. So because the divine is within it, everything will be eventually pushed towards some kind of a divine becoming. And the third, that the emergence, even beyond the emergence, the divine comes first and foremost. And then the Gita adds something very beautiful, that, you know, the divine is not just a blank, you know, nirvanic silence or moksha, impersonal. Divine is a personality. That helps so much, because then every aspect of our personality has a chance. If divine has an intelligence, let's take it. So, and logically, if there is no divine personality, you cannot explain emergence of emotions, intelligence. Something is there already in the origin. So if divine has an intelligence, then our intelligence can be uplifted and become one with divine intelligence. If divine has a heart, our emotions can be uplifted and they can become divine love. If divine is blissful, our joint sorrow can change into divine bliss. So when we look at it that way, there is only hope. And that's what Sri Aurobindo has come to give us, the supreme hope, certitude of the future. And when you look at it, that he was giving this when? In 1909. It's just unbelievable. And this is the source of hope. This is the logic of hope. This is the basis of hope. When we forget it, we suffer. Often people ask a reverse question. They say, I agree there may be the divine or there is the divine, but then why? Actually, if you say that, really, if you have trust that there is the divine, after that, matter ends there. He is taking care. He will take care. He knows better. It applies everywhere universally. People often ask about future of the ashram, for example. I say the same thing. It is mother's creation. Why are you worried? You may not understand how it will operate, what will happen, which way, what direction. The divine doesn't work in a linear way. That is the only problem with the divine. Big problem. We have only linear thinking. He carries everyone. This is a very big problem. It may sound very simple. In Ramcharitmanas, it is mentioned in a very nice way, describing Rama, original socialism. In Ramcharitmanas, how is Lord Rama described? Ganika, Ajamil, Vyadh, Gidh, Gajadh, Khal, Tare Gana. Ganika, Ajamil, Vyadh, Gidh, Gajadh, Khal, Tare Gana. What does it mean? Sounds very nice. Huh? When you hear also, sound very nice. Ganika, the fallen woman, the prostitute, Ajamil, the butcher, Vyadh, the person who hunts, kills animals, cruelest things, you see, the worst kind of things we can imagine. Gidha, the vulture, is a bird, but his eyes are always on the ground. Gajadh, that of course we know the story. Khal is the worst kind of creature, chittercock. Tare liberates them, he comes for all of us. So what will he do? He'll bring all of them together. Sometimes people ask, they ask about ashram, they ask about the world, all these things. So I ask them, do you want the world only for good people to get release? But that's not his operating system. Divine cannot say that, you know, I'll keep only the good people and the others I'll discard, condemn. How can he do that? He dwells in all beings. He is emerging, everything is emerging out of him. So when we understand from that point of view, then not only the heart develops a wideness, a tolerance. Tolerance is not a good word. I personally don't like it. I mean, it's, look, you feel superior. No, I'm tolerating. If somebody says, I'm tolerating you, don't say like that. I'm tolerating you. No. He is there in everything, and that is the source of hope. This is what Mother has come, Sri Aurobindo has come to tell us. So we can read something. I am continuing with the question into the reading. So, this what something from the Mother. You know, we are surrounded by complications, but there is always a place where it all opens out simple and straight. This is a fact of my experience. You go around in circles, seeking, working at it, and you feel stuck. I am trying to get rid of this and I am stuck. People say often, no, I can't understand, I am stuck. So they are always stuck. Where? In the mind. Then something in the inner attitude gives way and all of a sudden it opens out. Quite simply. I have had this experience very often. So I asked Sri Aurobindo to give it to you, to the disciple. Mind has created endless complications. Problem is it understands nothing about anything. But it believes it can understand everything about everything. Ignorance is not a problem. Ignorance is correctable. Arrogance is dangerous. I know it all. Anybody who is a student of anything, any field, medicine or take up, you know, astronomy, even household, anything, you will discover that it is so wonderful. There is a joyous simplicity, but the mind, you know, constantly complicates things. And he says repeatedly, insistently, what does Sri Aurobindo say? What is his advice to us? Which is what for the Darshan Day we can carry. Be simple, be simple. Christ, you remember the story, he says, for the meek and the weak, sheep, that's how he put it. What does Sri Krishna say? Gwal Bal, all the simple folks. That, they have a chance. But for the intellectual people, most difficult. So, be simple. Say simply what you feel. Be simple. Be simple. Insistently. These are only words, but as a matter of fact, when he spoke these words, it was like a path of light opening up. And everything became very simple. Just take one step after another. That's all we have to do. Problem is, it's supramental. Straight away everybody wants to, like Hanumanji, no? Eat the sun. Bal samay ravi bhaksh liyo tab tino lok bhai matiyaro. Take one step. Simple thing. Okay, today morning I forgot the divine. I'll remember him. While taking a bath, I was thinking of something else. I'll remember him. Simple things. And they take us very far. That's how it seemed to me. It's curious. All the complications seem to be there. Mother touches her temples. These are the temples. Sometime when people ask too many things, ye hoga ki wo hoga, this may happen, that may happen, 100 things they ask. So often I ask one question, Bhagwan ke liye bhi kuch chhodoge ki khud hi karoge sab kuch? Will you leave something for the divine to do? You have planned out, you have imagined, you have conceived, you are the doer. You must be God. And anybody who has lived, crossed 50, I'm sure there are quite a few of us. Or much before that. You will see life is full of such unexpected turns. Often, good comes out of evil. And equally, the fruits of good turn out to be evil. This also happens. What do we know? What do we understand? That humility, so important. Not humility in front of others. Nahi sir, aap bade ho, hum bade hain. Aap bade ho, kaun bada hai? You want the other person to say, huh? No, you are great. Mutual appreciation club. In FMC we used to have mutual appreciation club. Appreciate each other. So, in Christianity they have, you have to be, so they have this idea, in front of Christ, who can confess that he is a greater sinner? So there is a joke about one priest saying, I am a great sinner. Then there are two priests who are watching him. He says, see, he thinks he is the great sinner. He doesn't know, I am a greater sinner. There is a competition going on. How you confess? very complicated and very difficult to adjust. So mind has created complications. Its necessity was individualization. It has done that job. That's why the mind came into picture. It is a mediator divinity. It has to take us. But if he remains stuck there, then yes, there is a problem. And then when he said, be simple. How strange. It was like a light coming from his eyes. As if one had suddenly emerged into a garden of light. It gave that impression like a garden bathed in light. Somebody who is still here was telling me that when she came for darshan of the mother, little child, 4-year-old child, so she went with the child. Child is child, moving around, and her attention is, hey, don't touch that, don't do this, don't do that. Mother told her, she's sitting in front of mother, hey, this, she told her, can you forget him? I am his mother. I'll take care. She was telling me this story. And then she put her head on the mother's lap and forgot everything. So if we really trust that there is the divine and he is in us and always around us, then where does fear come from? Where does doubt come from? Okay, we are given a reason, we can plan a little bit, but we should always know that the divine consciousness sees not only 100 miles beyond, it sees our destiny, it knows everything. And will take us through everything. We should learn to trust and surrender, be simple. Such great insistence on the simple thing. People say, no, yoga is very complicated. Sometimes they ask, our mind is complicated. Yoga is very simple. Mind is very complicated. Because the mind takes it that it has to be complicated. See, mind has such a problem that it instantly thinks everything should be complicated. It complicates everything with its thoughts, worries. It cannot imagine. You know, there is a play of the mother toward the future. Anyone has read it? I don't know. Very interesting play. In that play, she has used the word toward the future. So it's very interesting. It's like a prevision of what is going to happen. So there is a husband and wife. It's actually about her own life. Yes. But she doesn't say that. It's known. There's a husband and wife and they have a fight. Well, they are not, they have a fight. But then this man falls in love with someone else. See, there are no fights shown. Now when this wife comes to know, what does she do? What should she do? Now see how her mind will come. All kinds of things. Ah, justice, she should do this, she should do that. Very bad person, this, that. But the Divine Mother, who is the main lead, she says, I know, actually, this girl is meant for you. You will be happy with her, but you keep her happy. She says, don't trouble her. Keep her happy. As for me, I know that no human love can fulfill my quest. I have to move further. It's such a beautiful thing. You just wonder, what? Yeah. I mean, it's like a shocker if you read the play toward the end because you are expecting usual thing. Of course, mother's play, so we are expecting something very different. But it is like things get complicated so much in the human mind because of ego, desire, fears. Otherwise, it can be so simple. You are moving towards your goal and everybody is moving toward their own goal. And this is not to be done with a state of sorrow, but with a state of joy. So she says, say simply what you see. Okay, joyous garden. The complications are there. It is hard and complicated. And then a door opens. Be simple. the simplicity that comes because of the presence of the divine, because of knowing that the divine exists. Often I love to quote this story of Martin Luther King. He was fighting, we all know, you know, Protestant and all that was going on. So he went into depression, quite a serious depression. So after 2-3 months, his wife got very annoyed. She told him, "Have you read the news today?" He was saying, "Ah, must be something bad." He said, "Bad? No, it is a horrible news. Not only bad." He said, "What is the news?" "God is dead." "What? How dare?" Because he used to believe. You see, the paradox. He believes in Christ. Only the approach. "What? How dare you say this?" He says, "Okay, if God is not dead, why are you pulling such a long face? One of the two can be true." So that's the only thing which we have to remember, that the divine, if he is there, and this is the only meditation, first meditation Sri Aurobindo gives to everyone, that divine is in all and all is in the divine. In fact, the Isha Upanishad meditation, before the mothers, later on he just said mother, because it becomes simple. Mother is the womb origin. Mother is the one who takes care. Mother surrounds everything. Mother is in all. But initially, when people asked for a meditation, Sri Aurobindo would give this meditation. There's a whole letter of his. In 1916, in the Arya, somebody asked, there used to be question of the month, what should be the best meditation? He says, the best meditation is what is given in the Isha Upanishad, that the divine dwells in all. All is in the divine and all is the divine. Yes means Sarvani Bhutani, that same two slokas. He gave it in English. And then there is nothing to fear, nothing to worry. So this is the state we should live in and go to Sri Aurobindo with this state of faith, surrender, gratitude. Okay, Chema.